إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مما بعد. We're going to continue reading this beneficial point from Aqidah by our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. The last point we mentioned is the point number 7 as related to Ilmul Kalam, that Al-Mutakallimun, those who follow the rhetoric, ilm al-kalam and philosophy, and they did not adhere to the way of the Salaf in the matters of aqidah. And that's a mistake, and that's very wrong, because ilm al-kalam take the people away from the truth, from the haqq, and get the people involved in a lot of things that will never get them closer to the truth, but rather keep them away, further away from the truth, as main scholars of ilm al-kalam, famous. The Shaykh, he mentioned a couple of them, even though they spend most of their times or their lives upon that path of misguidance, and they made some very serious statements themselves, that they didn't get nothing done, they didn't achieve no good by them following that path of rhetoric and ilm al-kalam and philosophy and the like. The Shaykh mentioned, keep in mind, because the aqidah is tawqifiyya, since the aqidah deals with the unseen, so before you believe in any matter of aqidah and the creed, he has to be a proof from it, for it, from Quran or Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because no one knows the unseen but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only thing we know is because Allah tells us about those things, or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us by the way of revelation. Like for example, the matters of the Jannah and the Hellfire, the Sirat, what's going to take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this is from the unseen. Nobody have knowledge of that, except that which Allah tells us in the Quran, the descriptions of the Jannah, the description of the Hellfire, of As-Sirat, what's going to take place in the Yawm al-Qiyamah. No one can just speak about that without actually referring to the Book of Allah and or to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important for us to know. But now these people, the ulama of ilm al-kalam, they don't adhere to this principle of Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, but rather they use their intellect into trying to extract more rulings, this, and bring in more details to matters that Allah did not tell us about in the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ did not inform us. Actually, this led them even to go even far astray. They even used their intellect to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعِيَادِ بِاللَّهِ. Instead to just affirm for Allah what He affirmed for Himself in His book, or His Messenger ﷺ affirmed for Him. Now these people, they go and they use this. Because they are people who, they says, no, you gotta use the intellect. Freedom of intellect, and you have to, you know, inshallah, use your intellect. It's going to lead you here or there. It's not going to lead you nowhere. Because when it comes to matters of aqidah, remember, ya akhwan, text before intellect. Do you have a text? Okay, you want to talk about the Jannah, have how many gates? Alright, says who? Allah says in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in a hadith, sound hadith. But now, Ashab al-Kalam, they tell you, no, because there are going to be many people, it has to be more than those gates. Says who? or they tell you this, or those gays, they don't mean, you know, actual gays, they mean something else, because they use their intellect and their imagination. And they use the logic too. Things that make sense to their intellect, they accept it. Doesn't make sense, they find a way, whether to deny it or to falsely interpret it in another way by changing its meaning. Ala ayin, the Shaykh, he mentioned that even those people who follow this path of misguidance, some of them, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them back to the truth, alhamdulillah. And they mention in the end of their lives that the way of the Salaf is the right way. After them, they were swimming in this vast ocean of ilm al-kalam. And finally they went back to the Sunnah. Some of them Allah wants good for them. From them, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, he was one of the main scholars of ilm al-kalam. This man, he was famous, but still, and he defended ilm al-kalam, and he spent his life calling to it. And but then, in the end of his life, he spoke against it, subhanAllah, and warned against it. Sheikh, he says, those who are still dealing with this ilm al-kalam, they should take it from this man. He's one of the founders, and he's one of the great people who dealt with ilm al-kalam. Now he's saying there is no good in it. So he said, you better take it from him. He's speaking by experience. He ain't just somebody told him what to say. This man, he was in it. And he mentioned the evil, the great evil, and the harm that this science, the science of rhetoric, ilm al-kalam, have on the people's aqeedah. Because it is based on shubuhat, on doubts, nothing clear in it. Not like in the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is built upon clarity. Qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ain't no ambiguity, no contradictions. But for them, constantly things changing, shubuhat. They put a person like in a maze. You know the maze. The maze is this place that you go to and you don't know how to go back. That's the maze. Can you imagine you go to a place like a cave underground, and that cave has so many holes in here and there and dark, and there is nothing to tell you where, how to get out. No exit signs. So now a person, he don't know, he's facing 6-7 holes. We'll go this way, he go this way, fine. Keep going further away, lost. And that's what that ilm, ilm al-kalam, waliyadu billah. From this ulama, like for example, Imam al-Tahawi, he mentioned, in refuting them, he says that it's impossible for someone to find the cure and to find the truth and guidance in the statements of these people and not finding it in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But rather, he says, what is incumbent upon every Muslim is to adhere to what Allah says and what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And then you can reflect and ponder, you can use your intellect to understand the text in the light of other texts, alhamdulillah, in the light of the statements of the as-salaf. Now a person will ponder and reflect upon this adilla to understand them, but the correct way. But not like these people, they cancel the text and use their intellect. Wal-iyadu billah. He mentioned another example, Ibn Rushd al-Hafid. He was one of the people who have the most knowledge of philosophy, philosopher. he says, no one from these philosophers, even though they were famous and many books and followers, says none of them can tell you the truth about al-ilahiyya, tawheed al-uluhiyya. You know, just constantly, lot of kalam, but nothing of benefit, lot of kalam, lot of statements, no benefits. But kalam al-salaf, but the statement of the salaf, they are a few. See, the salaf, they don't talk a lot, but it's very beneficial. Their statement is very, very beneficial. The statement of the salaf, they talk only a few, they don't talk much, but they adhere to principles. قال الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Those who oppose the way of the salaf, they talk a lot. These people of philosophy and علم أصحاب علم الكلام, you find them, subhanAllah, they have books, volumes of volumes of volumes of volumes, nothing. You get no benefit. But you find Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad, little book. Can memorize it in 2 days, if you want. But you get a lot of beneficial knowledge. Likewise, the Sunnah, Sharh al-Sunnah al-Barbahari, and the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, al-Wasitiyyah, a small book. But he has the Aqidah of al-Salaf. Al-Tadmuriyyah, al-Tahawiyyah, very small books. Likewise, the books of Shaykh al-Islam, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, ثلاثة أصول كتاب التوحيد القواعد الأربع كشف الشبهات مسائل الجاهلية. They're small books. Put them in your pocket. They are like so tiny that you put them in your front pocket. But they contains what you need. But this philosopher and these people who they were indulged in this science of kalam, they have volumes of volumes, but no benefit. Bring you nothing but confusion. Likewise, another person, Al-Amidi. He was very famous in his time as well. But he, when it comes to Masail Al-Aqidah, he's confused. Confused. And you remember in a previous class, the Shaykh, he mentioned that many of these Mashayikh and great, there's a people who have a great knowledge of Arabic language, of Usul, but then they were wrong. They were wrong, they didn't adhere to the madhab of a Sahaba, of a Salaf. He said, many of them on their deathbed, they said, look, here it is, after all these years, long years of kalam and this, and philosophy and logic and this, and going deep in every detail of the Arabic language and the grammar and this, they said, look, now we're dying on the aqidah of my grandmother. Allahu bissama, that's it. All of this was no benefit for them. That was good for these people. Another person is Al-Ghazali. Abu Hamid Al-Ghazali, a famous scholar, but he was upon this path, al-iyadu billah, of ilmu al-kalam. انتهى آخر أمره إلى الوقف والحيرة في المسائل الكلامية ثم أعرض عن تلك الطرق. After indulging himself in this vast ocean of kalam, but towards the end of his life, he himself couldn't take it anymore. He could even understand principles he said himself, because that is so confusing, because they're not built upon that which is sound. Okay? He said, and he has left all of that. Alhamdulillah, wa aqbala ala ahadith al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wants good for him, and he turns at that moment to the ahadith. Because this is what the aqidah is taken from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, not from intellect. Person put his intellect and from one thing to another, from mas'ala to another, from another mas'ala, another detail, leading to another detail. No, it's one hadith. It's enough. Al-Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, طالب الحق يكفيه دليل واحد. وصاحب الهوى لا يكفيه ألف دليل. Shaykh al-Albani used to always say, rahimahullah, if someone is seeking the truth, One proof is enough for him. He wants the proof in this matter, al-ulu. One proof is enough. Ayah or a hadith of the Prophet is enough. He said, but if a person is following his desires, 1,000 dalil and proof won't be no benefit for him. Because he's looking for something else. But the one who's seeking the truth, he knows that the truth is taken from this deen of Allah. Hada deenul haq. This is the religion of the truth. قال فمات البخاري على صدره. He says, so al-Ghazali, he died while Bukhari is on his, يعني صحيح البخاري, not al-Imam al-Bukhari. He died while صحيح البخاري was in his chest. يعني كناية على أنه كان يقرأ. Meaning this means that he, in, as the Shaykh he mentioned, towards the end of his life, he was reading the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was reading the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وكذلك أبو عبد الله محمد بن عمر الرازي. أي نعم. All of them. This great ulama, after they indulge themselves in this ilm al-kalam, and they find out that there is no good in it. There is no good in it after all these years. That's why, alhamdulillah, a person should thank Allah for being guided to, for guiding us to the way of the self. There are people are confused, ya akhi. They are upon Sufi ways and they think that's what is right. Dancing and chanting and being upon innovation and they think that's what is right. And some of them, you wonder, they've been there for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Hey, some people been upon the Sufi ways for all these years. And they think they're right. Some of them Allah guide them, alhamdulillah. They spend years upon Sufiya, for instance. Chanting, dancing and all that, innovations. But Allah guide them, alhamdulillah. Likewise, some people they are upon takfir, declaring Muslims to be disbelievers and supporting the takfiriyin and the khawarij who are causing mischief on the land and corruption. And they thinking what they're doing for the sake of Allah. See, that's the problem. They think that what they're doing is good. But some of them, alhamdulillah, Allah guide. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He choose whom He wills and He guides whom He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us, we just have to be grateful to Allah. And we give thanks to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this great ni'mah, for saving us from these routes. We could be on other than this path, but we have to thank Allah first and appreciate this great ni'mah to be upon that which the Sahaba they were upon, radwanullahi alayhim, especially in aqeedah, in the creed. And to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to be on their path, and not to forget to ask Allah constantly to give us firmness upon this path, and we die on it, inshaAllah ta'ala. Likewise, Abu al-Ma'ali al-Juwayni, rahimahullah, he used to say, Ya ashabana, la tashtaghilu bil kalam, falaw araftu anna al kalam yablughu bi ila ma balag mashtaghaltu bihi. Abu al-Ma'ali al-Juwayni, he used to say in the end of his time, of his life, he used to say to the people around him, do not study this ilm, ilm al-Kalam, the rhetoric. He said, If I know then, when I was about to get involved in it, if I know what he led me to, I will never make one step. Never make one step. وقال عند موته لقد خدت البحر الخضم وخليت أهل الإسلام وعلومهم ودخلت في الذين هوني عنه والآن فإن لم يتداركني ربي برحمته فالويل لابن الجوني وها أنا ذا أموت على عقيدة أمي أو قال على عقيدة عجائز نيسابور. الله أكبر. This man is famous in علم الكلام. And he says when he was about to die, he says indeed that he has embarked himself in this vast ocean of علم الكلام. He says, and by doing so, he has left the way of the people of Islam, meaning and their science, that which he's supposed to study, the aqidah of the Salaf, from the text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah. He said, but rather, he says, he get himself busy with that which Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they warn against. Because they warn against Kalam. Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, رأيي في أهل الكلام, that he says, my opinion, because in his time was the people of Kalam, intellects. They like, there is nothing wrong with using your intellect. But now they use the intellect to وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, to turn the people away from the haq, from the truth, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So he said, he has involved himself with that which Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they warn against. Imam al-Shafi'i, he says his opinion concerning to the people of Kalam, those who deal with the rhetoric and the like, that they should be flogged and beaten and put away, sent away. They won't even be amongst the Muslims. أو كما قال يضربوا بالنعي بالجريد. They will be beaten by the palm stalks in front of the people. وَيُطَافُ بِهِمْ فِي الْبُلْدَانِ, and they will be carried on donkeys and taken from a village to another village, so that the people know, look, this is what happened to the people who involved themselves with ilmul kalam. Because they turned the people away from what the Sahaba, they were upon. They turned the people away from what a Muslim should be upon, وَلْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. But this man, al-Juwayni, he says, but now, after all these years, he says, if Allah did not show him mercy, he will be destroyed. Woe to Ibn al-Juwayni, he says. And then he says, here I am, dying upon the aqidah of my mother. His mother, she was a regular Muslim, that she knows Allah is above the heavens, alhamdulillah, no intellect, not going here or there. And then he says, here I am dying on the aqidah and the creed of the old ladies of Naysabur. Likewise, another example, Shamsuddin al-Khasrushahi. He was one of the great students of Fakhruddin al-Razi. This man, he was a famous, great scholar at the time, but upon this ilm al-kalam. He was sick, and a regular man, went to visit him. And this Shamsuddin is a great scholar who spent his life in ilm al-kalam and this and that. He asked that man, that regular man, person who came to visit him, ماذا تعتقد؟ ما تعتقد؟ What is your aqidah? قال ما يعتقده المسلمون. He says, I believe in the same thing the Muslims believe. قال وأنت منشرح الصدر لذلك مستيقن به. He says, you believe, meaning the correct aqidah. He says, you believe in that and you're happy with that. Why, you're certain? You have certainty in your belief? قال نعم. Said, yes, I have certainty. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names and attributes and the like. Then he said to him, this great sheikh who spent his time, this, and was famous, he said to him, أشكر الله على هذه النعمة. He said to him, thank Allah for this great ni'mah, subhanAllah, you're upon the correct aqidah and you're happy and you're sure and certain. He said, لَكِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي مَا أَعْتَقِدُهُ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي مَا أَعْتَقِدُ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي مَا أَعْتَقِدُ. And then he said to him, by Allah, I don't know what I believe. He's a great shaykh, famous. See, that's what ilm al-kalam do to these people. In the end of their life, they don't even know what they believe. Because like they're amazed, they don't even know where they are. They think like they go on towards the exit, and then in the end, they're like, man, I don't even know where I'm at. Likewise, he says, he don't even know what does he believe. He said to him, you are a layman, you know your aqidah, you believe in Allah, and you're happy with that, and you're sure and certain with your aqidah. He's a famous person. He says, wallahi, he doesn't know what he believes. He don't even know what he's upon. وَبَكَى حَتَّى أَخْضَرَ لِحِيَتَهُ. And he began to cry until he wet his beard. Aina. And he mentioned other examples. Al-Fa'idah Thamina. But before that, Shaykh, you mentioned that Abu Muhammad al-Juwayni, the father of the great Imam of al-Haramain, al-Imam al-Juwayni, who is a great Imam, but this is his father, Abu Muhammad al-Juwayni, he was confused as related to the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His entire life. Because ilm al-kalam brings nothing but confusion. But he says, alhamdulillah, towards the end of his life, he repented and adhered to the way of the Salaf and the madhab of the Salaf. And he wrote a letter, or risala actually, a small book, to some of his mashayikh from the Asha'ira. Give him advice that this path is no good, that this path is not right. Aynan. Al-Fa'idah Thamina, the eighth benefit. هل صحيح أن أكثر المسلمين في هذا العصر أشاعرة? Is it true that the majority of the Muslims in this time are Ashairah upon the madhab of Al-Ash'ariyah? Because some people, they do, because many Muslim countries, they are upon this. They say they are Ash'ari. They are Ash'ari madhab. So is it true that many or the majority of the Muslims this time, they are upon the Ash'ari madhab? Of course, the Shaykh mentioned who is the Ash'ari briefly. قال الأشاعرة هم المنتسبون إلى أبي الحسن الأشعري. وهو علي بن إسماعيل المتوفى سنة 330 للهجرة. They call them Ash'a'ira because they followed the madhab of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. And of course, the ulama, they mentioned, because Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, he repented, alhamdulillah, and he went back to the madhab al-Salaf. So for those who are still upon error and upon misguidance to be called Ash'a'ira because of him? No, that's wrong, because he has freed himself from the madhab, the falsehood he was upon. But many people, they didn't do that. They continue to be on what he was upon before. So as for him, the ulama, they mentioned that he is free from what the Ash'a'ira are upon and all the deviation and the falsehood they are upon. Anyway, the Shaykh is just giving us a historical definition and explanation why they called Ash'a'ira. Because at one time they followed the founder of this madhab, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, Ali ibn Ismail, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah, who died in the year 330 of the Hijra. وَقَدْ مَرَّ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَطْوَارِ. Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah, when he came to Aqidah, he went by three stages. He passed himself by three stages. كان أولا على مذهب المعتزلة. كان أولا على مذهب المعتزلة. معتزلة فرقة ضالة. One of the deviant sects. المعتزلة. He was upon that. In the beginning of his life, he was upon the madhab and the belief of المعتزلة. ثم في طور بين الاعتزال والسنة. Then he switched to another one between a madhab between the Mu'tazila and the people of Sunnah. How is that? يُثْبِتُ بَعْضَ الصِّفَاتِ وَيُؤَوِّلُ أَكْثَرَهَا. By affirming some of the attributes and interpreting and giving a false interpretation to the most of them. ثُمَّ انْتَهَى أَمْرُهُ إِلَىٰ اَعْتِقَادِ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَفُ الْأُمَّةِ. And that's the kullabiyya, by the way. ثُمَّ انْتَهَى أَمْرُهُ إلى اعتقاد ما كان عليه سلف الأمة إذ أبان عن ذلك في كتابه الإبانة الذي هو من آخر كتبه أو آخرها فبين أنه في الاعتقاد على ما كان عليه إمام أهل السنة الإمام أحمد ابن حنبل رحمه الله وغيره من أهل السنة. And then at the end he the last stage he alhamdulillah Allah guide him to be and to adhere to the madhab of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah al-Salaf al-Salih. Walhamdulillah, that was the Sahaba they were upon. And he mentioned that clearly in his book Al-Ibana. In his book Al-Ibana, which is one of the Shaykh, he says if it's not his last book he wrote, then it is one of the last books he wrote. And he mentioned in it that in belief, in the creed, in the aqidah, he's upon that which the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah was upon. That which Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him from the A'imma of Ahlul Sunnah, they were upon. قَلْ وَهُوَ إِثْبَاتُ كُلِّ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَأَثْبَتَهُ لَهُ رَسُولُهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأسماء والصفات على ما يليق به من غير تكييف أو تمثيل ومن غير تحريف أو تأويل كما قال الله عز وجل ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. He said, and that which, what is this madhab that Imam Ahmad was upon, is that which the Salaf, the madhab of the Salaf. In Aqidah they affirm for Allah what he has affirmed for himself in his book or affirmed for him by his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, all of the names and the attributes in a manner that befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, without asking how the nature of these attributes and without likening them or resembling them to those of the creation, without distorting their meanings and without denying them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing resembles Allah, nothing like unto Allah, and He is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. قال والأشاعر باقون على مذهبه الذي كان عليه قبل الانتقال إلى مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة وقد اشتهر عند بعض الناس مقولة أن الأشاعر في هذا العصر يمثلون 95% من المسلمين. And he says that the Ashaira, they remain on what they were upon, even though the Imam, their Imam, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, he repents and he adhered to madhab al-Salaf, what the Sahaba they were upon. But many of the people, they were upon Dalala. When he was upon Dalala, they didn't follow him. They continued to be upon that. Ayna. Now, and then the Shaykh, our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Habibullah, he says, now, there is this statement that is being spread and disseminated amongst the people, saying that the Asha'ira actually they represent 95% of the Muslims. They say, now some people, they spread in this rumor that actually the Asha'ira represent 95% of the Muslims these days. The Shaykh says this is false. And this is not true from many angles. Number one, for them to come up with this accuracy is, where they bring this accuracy 95? That's one thing. So it's just a claim. Somebody put it out there to cause confusion and the like. Number two, he said, let's say for argument's sake, that yes, 95%. Still, just a big number never been a reason that just because 95% upon something that has to be the haqq. No. The haqq is well known by following that which the Prophet ﷺ has left for this ummah, that which the companions they were upon. It's not by looking at the majority. That's the mistake that certain people they do. They're like, who has the greatest number in this area? These guys. He want to be with them. Even if they are Sufis, or they Shi'is, Takfiris, Mu'tazila, Ikhwanis. Doesn't matter. You're going to say, who's upon the way of the Salaf in this area? What masjid they call to that which the Prophet ﷺ left the Ummah upon? That's what I want to be. Well, there is one little masjid. Okay, that's my people right there. Not like the majority. The majority is not always. We would love that the majority be upon the haqq. But that's not always the case. Just because they are more number that they have to be upon the haqq. La. And then the Shaykh says, likewise, the haqq is not known by following some men in the 4th century. How could it be the Asha'ira to be upon the haqq? And this madhab, it was founded by this man in the 4th century of the Hijrah. So how? So meaning now that, what happened to the Tabi'een and Atba'a Tabi'een and the Ulama before Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari? And what happened to the Sahaba? The Sahaba, they were not upon the madhab of al-Ash'ira. So if those who they say, look, the madhab of al-Ash'ira is the only right madhab, we're going to tell them, wait a minute, the Sahaba, they were not upon your madhab. So what? That you're telling me they were not upon the right thing? A'udhu billah. The same way, I mentioned to you that Imam Hanafi, Imam, who when he conducted that marriage contract, and he said to the man who's getting married, say, I accept to marry this, I'm marrying this woman upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. The man said, I don't have to say no madhab of Abu Hanifa. I'm marrying this woman upon the Sunnah, inshallah. He says, la, if you don't say upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, your marriage is not valid. If you don't say upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, your marriage is not valid. But that man was smart. He said to him, can I ask a question, Imam? He said, yeah. He said, what made the marriage of Abu Hanifa's father valid? Because he was not upon the madhab of his son. He didn't have a son yet. You see the jahl now. Some people, they are upon jahl. He said, what made Abu Hanifa's father marriage to be valid? Because certainly he was not upon the madhab of his son. He didn't have no son yet. So same thing, these people, they said, look, madhab Ash'ari is the only good way. He said, wait a minute, but Imam Ahmed was not upon it. Imam Shafi'i and Malik and all of them, they weren't upon this. And the Sahaba, they were not Ash'aris. So how are they this the only? Same thing you say about to the Shia. Same thing you say to the Sufis. Huh? Allah musta'a. And the third thing he says, for them to say 95, that's not true, because those people who are upon the Ash'ari madhab, they learn it only how. Whether they learn it from some schools who teach the Ash'ari madhab in some countries, or they learn from some of the mashayikh. He said, but the majority of the Muslims, they are upon the fitrah, alhamdulillah. They are upon the fitrah, which is upon the which al-jariya, like the hadith of that slave girl is upon, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the fitrah, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's above the heavens, subhanahu wa ta'ala, been upon the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wa al-jama'ah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslimin kathira.